that we have when we fully understand conceptually something, then it is easier to be able to implement practically, you know, those things that are based upon that conceptual thought process or that conceptual thinking or ideas or beliefs that we have. So when we're talking about Allah's mercy and Allah's anger, these are really important things that we need to have and at least understand when it comes to our Islamic lifestyle. So it's really interesting. We know that from the words of the infallible and immaculate, peace and blessings upon them all, you know, they say that when talking about Allah's mercy, they say that if you knew the extent of Allah's vast mercy, you would have depended on that mercy totally and only performed a few good deeds, a few sincere deeds. So now, this is one part of one tradition. So, but just to talk about this one part, it is really amazing the amount of mercy and the vastness of the mercy of the Almighty Allah. Of course, this vastness of the mercy of the Almighty Allah should give us hope. Hope in salvation, hope in reaching this perfect Islamic lifestyle, hope in being able to become good servants of the Almighty Allah, hope that we will gain the forgiveness of the Almighty Allah, hope in all of these various different things, right? Because of that mercy of Allah. Now, of course, the other side of the coin is that because of that mercy of Allah, we should most definitely not take advantage it's pretty simple, because it will lead to a lot of problems. Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So we left off the last segment of the program talking a little bit about how we need to believe in Allah's mercy, because it is very vast. It is He is the most merciful. He is the most compassionate. He is the most quick to forgive. So this is one side of this equation of Allah's mercy and Allah's anger. So we should never despair of Allah's mercy. We should always believe and have hope in Allah's mercy. But again, that should not make us arrogant. It should not make us haughty. It should not make us rebel. Because sometimes when you believe or you think that, you know, oh, everything is okay, I'm going to be forgiven, no big deal, then you end up committing more sins than you would have if you actually feared the Almighty Allah. And so the second part, before we run out of time, which we are, is Allah's anger. Now, when the infallibles, peace and blessings upon them, talk about the anger of Allah, they say that if you knew the extent of Allah's anger, you would believe that you will never be saved. So this has to go hand in hand with that vastness of mercy, right? So just as the Almighty Allah is merciful when one is sincere, on the other hand, the Almighty Allah's wrath is also very powerful, overpowering, and so His anger with those that are insincere is also very serious. And so these are the two things, Allah's mercy and Allah's anger, which we need to understand in order to be able to live that beautiful Islamic lifestyle. IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
Limelight. The Commission of Detainees Affairs and the Palestinian Prisoners Society revealed degrading and shocking conditions under which Palestinian detainees from Gaza are facing in the Zionist regime's notorious Ofer prison. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. Palestine Chronicle wrote, a report by two Palestinian rights organizations published recently comes following recent visits by their legal team to 9 detainees from the Gaza Strip. The report outlined the systematic torture to which these detainees are subjected, which was described as theft and deprivation of detainees' rights. The report established, based on the testimonies of the detainees, that all previous reports by human rights organizations fall short to reflect the level of brutality that has been and is being practiced against Gaza's detainees. According to the report, one of the psychological torture methods aiming to humiliate Palestinian detainees is forcing them to chant to a so-called captain, "Thank you, Captain," in Hebrew. Those who refuse to comply are reportedly severely punished. The detainees spoke at length to the lawyers about the humiliating and degrading positions they are forced to endure. One of the examples of these humiliating positions is being forced to sit on their knees or stomachs in the camp yard for long hours during court sessions held over the phone. In terms of medical treatment, Palestinian detainees told the lawyers of the Palestinian organizations that the prison's administration continues to deprive them of medical attention. Some of the detainees who were allowed to speak to the legal team were suffering from wounds and injuries that had not healed as a result of their systematic deprivation of treatment. The two Palestinian rights groups voiced in their report their deep concern over the spread of skin diseases among the detainees from Gaza in view of the occupation authorities' ongoing policy of depriving them of hygiene products. The reports indicated the detainees have been forced to shower without soap for several months, and through follow-up, the lack of personal hygiene tools was the main reason for the spread of skin diseases among the prisoners and the detainees in various prisons. The Palestinian detainees also mentioned suffering from cold, especially at night, due to being deprived by Israeli occupation authorities of adequate clothing and covers. The report read, as is the case for thousands of prisoners and detainees in the Israeli prisons and camps, the occupation, as part of its systematic policies, is to transform cold weather conditions into a tool for abusing and torturing detainees. The report of the two organizations pointed out that a revenge spirit reigns amongst Israeli occupation troops and prison guards, competing who can be more brutal towards the Palestinian detainees. The report went on to highlight the main challenges that face the rights organizations in addressing the topic of the detainees from Gaza, especially in relation to the issue of the enforced disappearance of hundreds of detainees in Gaza. The two organizations stated that some of these challenges include ignoring the precise number of detainees from Gaza in Israeli occupation prisons and the unprecedented level of brutality, which include but are not limited to the crimes of torture, abuse, and the crime of starvation, in addition to systematic medical crimes, sexual assaults, and their use as human shields. One of the other obstacles that the report mentioned is that the Israeli occupation authority continues to prevent the International Committee of the Red Cross from visiting all prisoners and detainees. The Commission of Detainees Affairs and the Palestinian Prisoner Society revealed at the end of the report the names of some of the detainees at Ofer Prison based on accounts of prisoners with whom they were unable to speak. Of the 45 Palestinian prisoners mentioned in the report, 5 are children. Flouting a UN Security Council resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire, the fabricated regime of Israel has faced international condemnation amid its continued brutal offensive on the Gaza Strip. Currently on trial before the International Court of Justice for Genocide Against Palestinians, the child killer regime of Israel has been waging a devastating war on Gaza since October 7, 2023. According to Gaza's Ministry of Health, at least 43,204 Palestinians have been murdered and at least 101,641 wounded in the Zionist regime's ongoing genocide in Gaza starting on October 7, 2023. Moreover, at least 11,000 people are unaccounted for, presumed dead under the rubble of their homes throughout the Gaza Strip. Palestinian and international organizations say that the majority of those murdered and wounded are women and children. The Zionist regime war has resulted in an acute famine, mostly in northern Gaza, resulting in the death of many Palestinians, mostly children. The Zionist regime aggression has also resulted in the forceful displacement of nearly 2 million people from all over the Gaza Strip, with the vast majority of the displaced forced into the densely crowded southern city of Rafah near the border with Egypt in what has become Palestine's largest mass exodus since 1948 Nakba. Later in the war, hundreds of thousands of Palestinians began moving from the south to central Gaza in a constant search for safety.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
As I look to the north, I see the fertile plains of Syria and Lebanon. In the east, the vast and bountiful valleys of the Tigris and Euphrates. And in the west, the land of the Egyptians. These were the words spoken by Menachem Begin, the former Prime Minister of Israel. However, his words were in contradiction with the previous discourse of the Zionists. Previously, the Zionists spoke of exile, the Holocaust, and oppression. But after formation of Israel, their language and speech changed. They utilized a new terminology that reflected a dangerous ideology. The Greater Israel. To them, the establishment of the Zionist regime on Palestinian land was just the beginning of a larger plan. Therefore, Ben-Gurion claimed, "This map is not our country's map. We have another map that future generations will implement. We must expand our territory from the Nile to the Euphrates. Look at the American Declaration of Independence. This declaration makes no reference to any specific boundaries. We are not compelled to define our borders." These were the words of former Israeli War Minister Moshe Dayan. He spoke of America, of occupation, the genocide of indigenous people, and land grab. In fact, Zionists had a strange plan. They wanted to model themselves after America and considered the conditions in a way that Palestine and its people resembled America and its native inhabitants. The Zionists saw themselves as sailors and explorers, with the difference being the Zionists considered the land of Palestine as their ancestral inheritance.
What kind of history is it that the Arabs live here for 2,000 years and they were kicked us, by us out? We lived here, sir, for the last 3,500 years and more. Now, we came back to the land of our ancestors.
In this way, all strategies used to occupy America were employed for occupying Palestine. Daydreaming begins. In their dreams, the Zionists rule over Palestine, from the Nile to the Euphrates, the Middle East, and even the world. The existence of counterparts in America and Europe would have facilitated the establishment of geopolitical relations and brought about political power for Israel, making it akin to a kind of global government. But such mentalities were dangerous and found opposition. Therefore, the creation of an organization for suppressing opponents was put on the agenda. This organization is called Anti-Defamation League, to suppress critics as a pressure group. With increasing economic power of the Zionists, the Anti-Defamation League influenced the American political arena and even the Council on Foreign Relations. Zionists in America and Europe received support and backing, while critics and protesters were suppressed. The establishment of the Zionist regime was highlighted under the pretext of the Holocaust. All the documents related to the Holocaust were doubted. Years later, criticism begins, and critics are pursued and even punished. Some of the most significant criticisms and revelations came from within the intellectual communities. Ilan Pape, a professor of political science at the University of Haifa, addresses the issue of ethnic cleansing in Palestine in his book. Civilians were killed, villages were destroyed. At least 1 million men, women, and children were expelled from their homes. Ilan Pape faced harsh reaction and was expelled from the university. Gradually, other intellectuals also speak out. Israel had a sinister and complex political plan in the form of colonial occupation executed in a brutal manner. The situation was alarming because Israel's crimes could be concealed. Martial laws have been enforced in Palestine for years, infringing upon the rights and freedoms of the people who were simply harassed and abused.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Yet the idea is that every Palestinian would feel the military is right here.
In fact, a dual judicial system had been established in Israel. Muslims were deprived of services, welfare, and basic rights.
And since 67, no more drilling, no more development, no more nothing. We stopped at this point.
They were arbitrarily detained and placed in narrow and solitary cells, mostly subjected to torture. Even though they were innocent, they were tried and sentenced in military courts. Strangely, upon release, they could be killed, even women and children. Israeli society bore many similarities to American society. Arabs were treated as African Americans, and they were more likely to be tried and imprisoned compared with the Zionists. A form of ethnic cleansing was underway, a combination of racism and systematic slaughter. The Zionists, who were complaining about Nazi German camps, had imprisoned Muslim people in a camp the size of Palestine.
This whole country is like a prison. We feel like birds in a cage. We have all the comfort and food we have, but we have no freedom. My life and existence is always being threatened.
Colonialism, apartheid, and occupation were underway. The immigrants did not have ideal conditions, especially those who arrived after the days of catastrophe or Nakba. They were not allowed to settle in large cities. Instead, they were settled in temporary camps and then transferred to settlements. The policy of settlement building was hostile, aiming to prevent the return of Palestinians, and was considered a form of defensive shield. The protests of Eastern Jews began in the summer of 1959, starting from the city of Haifa. The next wave of protests took shape in the following decades. African immigrants also felt a different form of racial discrimination in their bones. As protests became widespread in Israel, Israeli experts and sociologists became involved and realized that something from within was challenging Israel. A crisis. Israeli sociologist Jonathan Shapiro, in his books, refers to the crisis as a major factor. The Israeli elites were exploiting the people. The necessity of creating a so-called nation for Israel was carried out at the expense of oppression by the majority, and minorities were in the worst situation. The chaotic situation of the parties was the most important factor in the crisis. There was no guarantee of minority rights. Arabs were in isolation and regression, being used as cheap labor for menial jobs. Israel was introduced as a model where a few different individuals from different countries had successfully come together and formed a nation. These were references to the Ashkenazis, as well as important institutions and organizations such as Haganah, Jewish Agency, Theodore Herzl, Weizmann, Menachem Begin, Ben-Gurion, Ariel Sharon, and Central Committees were all Ashkenazis. Historical books taught in schools were also about the Ashkenazis. Other Jews had no share in historical books because they were considered backward and primitive. Historically, being Jewish or Arab was not an issue. Jews lived comfortably among Arabs, but with the formation of Israel, problems arose. The Israeli society was filled with hatred towards Arabs. Arab immigrants were forced to hide their Arab identity. Concealing their Arab identity and constant suppression had turned into self-hatred. The solution ahead was what had been used in America, the melting pot theory. According to this theory, individuals from different societies come together in one place and interact, and a new society is formed. A new society that, while being homogeneous, also possesses the individual and social characteristics of different social groups. But Ben-Gurion's melting pot had many flaws. Racism was the most significant challenge. The next challenge was the rule of the elites. The founders of Israel sought to have Israel ruled by the elites, similar to America. Thus, a specific class in Israel was empowered as the guardians and protectors of the fundamental values of society to prevent the masses from challenging the fundamental principles of Israel. The plan had many benefits for the Ashkenazis. In the Jewish history, there are also signs of a class of nobility that sacrificed part of the Jews in times of emergency. A combination of racism and racial discrimination, along with the rule of a group of dominant elites and nobles who sacrificed people for their own interests. What fate will it bring? Politically, since 1949, left-wing parties have come to power in Israel and formed cabinets. In 1977, Menachem Begin of the Likud party came to power. In the 1980s, the Shah's party gained power, but again, it is Likud that takes the lead in Israel. In the 1990s, a young politician in Israel rises to power, Benjamin Netanyahu. He is U.S. educated with strong connections, including with Mitt Romney, the U.S. presidential candidate, and Menachem Schneerson, an influential rabbi. He shook hands with chairman of the Palestine Liberation Organization, Yasser Arafat, plotted an assassination attempt on senior Hamas leader Khaled Meshaal, and has been embroiled in corruption and graft. But after the events of 2000 and Israel's withdrawal from Lebanon, Ariel Sharon comes to power. He is officially a criminal and has a long history of killing and crimes against Palestinians. In his record, the massacre of unarmed people in the village of Al-Kubaya and the Sabra and Shatila massacre stand out. The number of casualties resulting from Sharon's actions is never clear because he takes pleasure in burning Palestinians.
We warned.
When Sharon brings war and terror, he faces defeat. With Israel's defeat in the 33-day war, something in Israel is fundamentally hurt: security. The right-wingers attract people's attention with extremist slogans. Meanwhile, Netanyahu, who has the support of Jewish rabbis and American advisors, has a better position. He comes to power with numerous promises and, based on his business background, implements economic reforms to garner public satisfaction through economic growth. Ehud Barak was considered a tough opponent of Netanyahu's. In 1999, he came to power with a promise of ending the war in Lebanon. Ehud Barak was one of the main commanders in the Lebanon War. He had pursued advanced studies in systems analysis at Stanford University in America and logically had concerns about any Israeli action to take over Palestinian territories such as the West Bank, the Jordan River, and the Gaza Strip, which would officially lead to the formation of an apartheid regime. Because in the event of voting in Palestinian territories, Palestinians would definitely vote for the Palestinian government, posing a fundamental challenge to Israel. The Zionist solution to the problem was a perpetual siege and war with Palestine. That is why the Gaza Strip turned into a large prison. A few years later, when Ehud Barak becomes war minister, he proposes a solution to previous failures. War. During Operation Cast Lead, Israel attacks the Gaza Strip for 22 days. Phosphorus bombs rain down on the people. They attack rescue forces, hospitals, women, and even children. In this war, the infrastructure of Gaza is destroyed. Israeli soldiers abduct and use Palestinian children as human shields on the streets. Israel officially commits war crimes. However, this war did not bring any achievements. Ehud Barak, as a main culprit, steps aside to allegedly bring fresh blood into Israel's political system. He was seeking extensive changes, but his failure against the resistance leads to the resurgence of Netanyahu. Until Netanyahu, security took precedence over everything in Israel, and every issue became a matter of security. But during Netanyahu's tenure, Israel faces a new challenge. The challenge of extremism. As long as Israel was winning, militarism was considered an honor. The army was the best interpreter of the Torah, and Arab defeats added to the excitement. Meanwhile, Netanyahu, who considered himself an expert in terrorism, turns to terrorism and, on the other hand, tries to achieve concessions through negotiations. And then he seeks to attract the satisfaction of extremist Zionists. That is why the provisions of the Madrid and Oslo Accords are replaced in the Trump Peace Plan, or so-called Peace to Prosperity. In 2018, discrimination becomes legally apparent in Israel, and Israel violates all international resolutions. According to this law, Israel is exclusively identified as a nation-state of the Jewish people, perpetually denying the rights and privileges of Muslims and restricting the Arabic language. In 2021, four families in the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in Jerusalem are ordered to leave their homes. They fall victim to the regime's strange judicial system, which confiscates Palestinian properties. A month later, a hardline representative, Itamar Ben-Gvir, sets up his office under a tent in the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood. He is an extremist Jew who had a picture of Baruch Goldstein fixed on the wall of his house. Goldstein was a terrorist who attacked unarmed worshippers during Ramadan, pouring their blood. When Ben-Gvir sets up a tent in Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood, the settlers storm in and the occupation of Palestinian homes begins. Creating tension and conflict, harassing and tormenting Muslims, forcing families to flee and replacing them with Jews was a permanent policy for occupying land and changing the demographic and identity of Jerusalem and Palestine so that other plans could be implemented thereafter.
You are stealing my house.
And if I don't steal it, someone else is going to steal it.
But militarily, especially after the 33-day war in 2006, the conditions of the battlefield had changed. Therefore, when an Israeli ship is attacked in 2021, it becomes clear that it was a retaliatory attack. Subsequent attacks seem to be responses to Israeli crimes. Israel, which thought it had created a constant nuisance for the resistance axis by cooperating in the production of Daesh terrorists, now finds itself in the midst of even a greater fire. In a society where any unethical relationships to achieve a goal were considered legitimate based on its teachings, there's also a dangerous extremist movement that try to remain hidden and never be revealed.
So the Arabs are not equal citizens here.
The extremist movement in the political arena of Israel was so influential that someone like Netanyahu, the main culprit in the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin, came to power.
But he was there, and he didn't stop it.
The man in the blue t-shirt approached.
For this reason, Netanyahu tried to gather the approval of extremist groups for years.
To go back to Arab countries.
We have to kill him, and not because he's an Arab, because he's a terrorist. I think he should also kick out the family.
But extremism and racial discrimination not only face opposition from Palestinians, but also from the resistance front and other communities. Israel sees its security slipping away. Thus, Israel, which has historically oppressed people and plotted for the Middle East, finds itself on the path of contradictions in behavior and speech and the adoption of racist policies, leading to nothing but defeat and destruction.
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا
القرآن نور وبيان القرآن هدي الإيمان القرآن مسك الختام يا قرآن عليك سلام
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio and in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really glad having brothers Ali Nasser here with me, Hassan Nasrullah, Hussein Ruhullah, and brother Masoom. Everyone, salamu alaikum. Are you doing well? Hussein? Fine?
Alhamdulillah. Sir.
Alhamdulillah. Masoom, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, sir. Fine.
Alhamdulillah. Ali Nasir?
Great. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And Hassan?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Everyone is doing great. So, brothers and sisters, hope you are doing as well great. Let's get started today. We will be working on Ayah 5 of Surah Yunus, Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, on page 208. So, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, hope you have the Quran with you. Please turn to page 208, Surah Yunus, Ayah 5. So, before we get started, before we go to the explanation of this ayah, the tajweed rules, let's listen to the recitation, then inshallah. Is that fine?
Yes.
Ready?
Yes.
Let's go.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Huwa الذي جعل الشمس ضياء والقمر نورا وقدره منازل لتعلموا عدد السنين والحساب ما خلق الله ذلك إلا بالحق يفصل الآيات لقوم يعلمون.
Nice recitation. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. So, this ayah is a very beautiful ayah talking about the creation, the universe, the creation of the sun and significance of the sun, the moon, okay? Why Allah Almighty created them, how? And also, Allah Almighty talks about their benefits. All right? Look, Allah Almighty says in Ayah 5 of Surah Yunus on page 208. As you heard the reciter reading it, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Huwa alladhi ja'ala ash-shamsa diya'an wal-qamara nura. Allah Almighty is the one who made the sun as a radiance, so lightning, okay? Shining. وَالْقَمَرَ نُورًا, and the moon a light. Alright? ضِيَاء doesn't mean a simple light. Like, look at the lamp around you. Okay? The lights here. They have light, yes?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
But it's not, diya is not something simple or normal light. Diya means very, very strong light. Got it? Like the sun. You can't really look at the sun, can you?
No.
It harms your eyes. Yes? It hurts your eyes. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. So, but you can look at the moon. Can you?
Yes.
You can look at the moon.
Yeah.
So look, both are creatures of
God,
Allah Almighty. But one is with a strong light, the other one is with a weaker light. Yes?
Yeah.
But they both have their own benefits, their own significance. وَقَدَّرَهُ مَنَازِلَهُ وَقَدَّرَهُ مَنَازِلَهُ and ordained its phases. Why? لِتَعْلَمُوا عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ وَالْحِسَابِ, that you might know the number of years and the calculation of time. لِتَعْلَمُوا عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ وَالْحِسَابِ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ, Allah did not create all that except with reason. يُفَسِّلُ الْآيَاتِ, He elaborates the signs. Ah, this is important, the last point. لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ. Guys, if somebody really, really wants to know Allah Almighty, he should look at the creation of Allah Almighty. Hussein, please recite this ayah once. Let's pay attention to the tajweed points.
Okay, sir.
Everyone listen.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Good job. That day as well, I told you one point that you have to make an air sound with light letters. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. It shouldn't be Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. One is ah, one is air. No. All the light letters should be pronounced with an air sound. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This is pure Arabic. But if you say Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, this is not Arabic. Got it? Recite it again.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أحسنتم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Good job. Nice. Even with fatha as well, you should pay attention to it, okay? Not a. Huwa. Huwa alladhi. Not huwa alladhi. Huwa alladhi. Okay?
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغار حراء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
Read.
هو الذي جعل الشمس ضياء والقمر نورا وقدره منازل لتعلموا عدد السنين.
أحسنتم. Good. Look, the heavy letters, especially the qaf. How do you pronounce it, Ali Nasir?
The qaf?
Yeah.
Qa.
Qa. Qa. Yes. Hassan?
Qa.
Qa. Hussein, say it now.
Qa.
Qa. So, you have to pay attention to it. Wal-qamara. Wal-qa-qa-qamara. Okay? So, move on from wal-qamara. Start and stop at hisab.
Wal-qamara nooran wa qaddara.
Wait. Wal-qamara. Ra. Again. Look, two heavy letters you have between. You have one
light
letter. Qamara. A, e, a. This way. Qamara. Difficult. But you have to try it. Go on. Wa qaddarahu. Again. Wa qaddara. Okay.
وَالْقَمَرَ نُورًا وَقَدَّرَهُ مَنَازِلَ لِتَعْلَمُوا عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ وَالْحِسَابِ.
أحسنتم. Two important points in this part we have. هو الذي جعل الشمس ضياءً. ضياء has a mad. Is that wajib or no?
It's wajib.
It's wajib. What's your reason for that?
Because the hamza and the mad letter are in the same word.
What is the mad letter there?
Ziya has the mad on it. Alif.
Alif. Good job. So we have three mad letters. What are they?
Ya.
Alif.
Alif.
Alif. Ya.
Ya and.
Wow. Yes. Alif. Ya. Wow. So these three. If you have them in any word right after them, you have hamza. Take a look. If that hamza is part of the word, the mad becomes
wajib.
If it's not part of the word, if it's part of another word,
it's jaiz.
It's jaiz. You can ignore it. But here you have to. Dhiya. Stretch it. Yeah. An is followed by the letter waw. What do you do?
Merge it.
Yes. Merge them. How do we merge them? Merge it.
Dhiya. Aw.
Aw. Wal qamara nooran.
Nooraw.
Nooraw. Ahsantum. So, Hisab, he stopped on the word Hisab. Was he allowed to make a pause there, Hassan?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, Jim says?
And Jim allows you to stop.
Allows you to make a pause. Okay. Yeah. So move on. Ma khalaqallahu.
Ma khalaqallahu thalika illa bilhaq.
Aha. About qalqala, the echoing sound. Yes, those five letters that if they appear sakin or if we stop at them, they should be pronounced with an echoing sound. What are those five letters, Ma'asum?
Sir, they are qaf,
qaf,
ta,
ta,
ba,
ba,
jim,
jim,
and dal.
And dal. This word, haq, we have qaf. But since it has a shadda, the qalqala, the echoing sound, becomes stronger, the strongest qalqala.
Mm-hmm.
This way, look. ما خلق الله ذلك إلا بالحق. حق. Mm-hmm. Slight kind of pause. حَقَّ stretching sound. إِلَّا بِالْحَقَّ Got it? Minchawi yes. applies this one beautifully when he recites, especially the word حَقَّ. So beautiful, I like, I love it. So, read it one more time.
مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ
خَ خَلَقَ heavy.
ما خلق الله ذلك إلا بالحق
حق حق alright practice it next one next part يفصل الآيات
يفصل الآيات لقوم يعلمون
أحسن again one إدغام rule we have لقوم plus يا لقوم يعلمون that's it easy rules I will recite it. Make sure you repeat after me. Ready, everyone?
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, time to practice the recitation. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
هو الذي جعل الشمس ضياء والقمر نورا
هو الذي جعل الشمس ضياء والقمر نورا
وقدره منازل لتعلموا عدد السنين والحساب
وقدره منازل لتعلموا عدد السنين والحساب
ما خلق الله ذلك إلا بالحق
ما خلق الله ذلك إلا بالحق
يفصل الآيات لقوم يعلمون
يفصل الآيات لقوم يعلمون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم Thank you so much Thank you so much brothers and sisters for listening to this Quranic recitation Inshallah stay with IRIB English Radio with the next coming sessions That's it from us for today والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Hezbollah continues to pound Israel's military bases, settlements, and forces with drones and rockets in retaliation for the regime's aggression against Lebanon. Scores more Palestinians, including women and children, are killed as the Israeli regime presses ahead with its genocidal war on the Gaza Strip. It's election day in the U.S. People are heading for the polls to pick a new president in a tight race. Hello and welcome up in Tehran. You've tuned to World News. I'm Marcia Hashimi. Appreciate you being with us. Well, air raid sirens have sounded once again in the occupied city of Haifa as the Hezbollah resistance movement carries out fresh retaliatory strikes on Israeli targets. Hezbollah says it fired a barrage of rockets toward Israel's Doviv barracks. The Lebanese resistance movement also targeted Israeli military sites in the Upper Galilee region in the northern occupied Palestinian territories. Hezbollah earlier hit the Krayat settlement north of Haifa with a rocket barrage. The Lebanese resistance group has repeatedly said that its anti-Israel operations are in support of Palestinians in Gaza and in defense of Lebanon and its people. The Israeli regime has conducted a fresh airstrike targeting the town of Al-Qusar in western Syria. According to media reports, the latest Israeli aggression hit an industrial zone, the town near the Lebanese border. Israel has carried out strikes against Syria for years and ramped them up since October the 7th, when it began its genocidal war on Gaza. Syria has lodged several complaints with the UN, accusing the regime in Tel Aviv of violating its sovereignty, but to no avail. The Tel Aviv regime does not usually comment on reports of attacks in Syria. Meanwhile, the non-aligned movement has strongly denounced the recent Israeli aggression against Iran as a grave violation of the country's sovereignty and its territorial integrity. In a statement, the group of 121 countries condemned the regime's airstrikes on Iran that claimed the lives of four military personnel and one civilian. NAM called the attack a violation of the fundamental principles of international law and the UN Charter. The bloc reiterated that Iran has the inherent right to defend itself against such aggression. It also asked the UN Security Council to condemn the attack and to work towards preventing it from happening again. The bloc said the council's inability to hold Israel accountable has enabled the regime to continue its aggression in Palestine, Lebanon, and elsewhere in the region.